Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission. Hi, friends. Hope you're having a great week. We are in the middle of a holiday season here.
That's right. We heard all about it last night.
Diwali, so lots of fireworks.
Indeed. Made it a little rough to get to sleep last night. Shooting off fireworks in the middle of the apartment complex.
Yes, makes for that sound like sleep. Bombs going off.
Mm-hmm.
Sat on the balcony and watched them for about 2 minutes.
Yeah. Everybody's got their Christmas lights up on their balcony.
Yeah.
Makes for nice viewing.
We can pretend it's Christmas.
Yeah, that's right.
I also think it's funny for our listeners to be able to imagine us in our recording studio right here because it's our son's bedroom. So we are surrounded by Legos and Minecraft books and dirty socks.
Yep. Managed to carve out a space here for ourselves like we do each week.
I love our professional expertise.
We are really high-fi.
So last episode, I really enjoyed talking more about what the difference is between a church's maturity level and their health.
Yeah.
And talking through some of the reality of a brand new baby church, especially in a very unchurched context, allowing that church to have a short period, at least, of being a baby and figuring out church life with brand new believers. And I think rejoicing in being able to be a part of that here in our work. So today we're going to talk more about what the goal is, what a healthy church looks like after it's had some time to mature.
That's right. Yeah, the period of adolescence, if we'll call it that, for the church, it shouldn't be very long, right? It shouldn't extend for a very long time. Mm-hmm. It seems like even in the scriptures, as we talked about some of those examples, the first missionary journey, they're already gathering together. They're believers, baptized, presumably, already called a church and identifying, I would say, as a church, the people of God in that place. There you go. There's some of our fireworks. Thank you. Just thinking about, you know, Paul seems to assume and expect that that period's not going to last very long.
Yeah.
And even, I think, as we talked about last time as well, at the end of the first missionary journey, Barnabas and Saul coming back, all the places where there were those kind of fledgling churches, they appointed elders in all those places, which seems like kind of the capstone of the adolescence, that when the elders were in place there, the assumption was, okay, now you can do all the stuff you're expected to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's even maybe solidified by the fact that it talks about at the end of that chapter that Saul and Barnabas had completed the work for which they had been sent.
Mm-hmm.
So to go out and to preach the gospel to new people, break new ground, but then get it to where there's a new church planted and there's even leadership, there's elders who are going to be there in that church, that is in a sense like a completed work.
Yeah.
And that there's a expectation it will just continue growing into all of what the Bible, we would say, expects a church to be, a community of Christ. What's it supposed to look like? Because there's lots of stuff, right? So, and what are those? That's what we're going to talk about today. What makes a healthy church? When can we call it that? And we talked about last time as well, we mentioned Acts 2. That's a place we've gone to a lot. So much there. Those verses, Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 47. The beginning of the Jerusalem church in earnest. Before that, there were the believers there left over from Jesus' time. But then when the Spirit falls and it talks about all the things that they were doing together, that's just an incredible template, an incredible like first picture, if you will, of what the church should look like.
I think it gets to the heart of the church. It doesn't get into all the specifics.
Yeah.
You don't see church discipline or some of those more particulars.
Yeah.
But it gets to the heart of family, fellowship, Bible teaching, prayer.
Just the vibrancy, the immediacy of that life. You know, it comes through in that passage. But like you said, there's other things that as we read the rest of the New Testament, there are other things that aren't highlighted in that picture of the Jerusalem church that come out as we read the rest of the New Testament. And there's this kind of full picture of what constitutes this biblical church that we're looking for. There's, man, just for general context, these days there's tons of resources and tons of talk about healthy church, which is awesome. Man, just so grateful for that. I feel like there's been a groundswell of thinking and talking and writing and teaching about healthy church over the past couple of decades. Man, just such a gift, I feel like, to the church globally, both in the U.S., the work that we're doing here, a lot of ways that those have sharpened us in our work that we have continued to learn from. So just a quick biblical observation. The Bible never uses the word healthy to describe the church. that adjective is in the Bible, right? It's the word that we derive our words for like hygiene and hygienic from, but it's never used specifically to describe a church. It's most consistently used to describe doctrine. A few examples here, almost all in the letters to Timothy and Titus. 1 Timothy 1:10, it says, after listing off a string of sinful behaviors, Paul concludes with whatever else is contrary to sound or to healthy doctrine. In the ESV, it's translated as sound, but it is that word for healthy. 1 Timothy 6:3, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound or healthy words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness. 2 Timothy 1:13, follow the pattern of the sound or healthy words that you've heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And 2 Timothy 4:3, the days will come when people will not endure healthy teaching. And then two times in Titus, Paul refers again to this healthy doctrine, that those appointed as elders must give instruction in healthy doctrine and rebuke those who contradict it, and that Titus, in Titus 2:1, should teach what accords with healthy doctrine. When the use of this word comes up in the Bible, the focus is on the doctrine and adherence to the doctrine and how that was a marker, really, of the health of the church. Note that the doctrine it's describing is not just beliefs, it's also behavior.
Yeah.
In the context of those statements, just like it says, the teaching that accords with godliness, like doctrine and behavior go together. And so what we shouldn't get into, and I think unfortunately some, even historically, churches have fallen into, is if we just kind of get the beliefs right, if we get our belief statement right, we're all correct in those, then we're doing good. We're the healthy church. Yeah. But to recognize those two things are together. And I think that even when he's referring to healthy doctrine here, he's referring to faith and practice together.
Yeah.
That there's a belief that leads to godliness. And that's really that whole encompassing idea that he's getting at. We're talking about sound doctrine.
Yeah. I think that's a thing to really think about. All of our listeners would probably quickly be able to say, oh yeah, you could have all the right textbook doctrine and not have a loving church family, not reach the lost.
Miss the life.
And not have close fellowship. The right textbook doctrine and being a healthy church, not necessarily always going together.
Yeah, and I think, again, just reflected in that biblical word doctrine that I think brings those two things together. So the biblical church, a healthy church according to the Bible, is the one that holds to and grows in this healthy doctrine of Christ. The biblical picture of church is to both affirm, confess, or believe, and to live the healthy doctrine and to grow in that. I think that growth piece also is a key sort of background contextual piece as we're looking at what all of the New Testament says about a church and a healthy church. Remember last time we talked about that idea of a progression or growth arc for a church. I think that continues to be the way that church is talked about throughout the New Testament. There's the assumption that the church, as like a living organism, is going to continue growing in these things, growing in this healthy doctrine, or growing in the picture of what God wants it to be. Ephesians 4:15 through 16 says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Earlier in that same chapter, Paul writes that the believers, Jews and Gentiles, are members of the household of God, the church, that's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. That's actually in chapter 2 of Ephesians. A few key elements stick out in these descriptions of church that Paul is talking about. There's the unity in the body. There's this idea of oneness. We are all one together in him. There's one body of Christ. That is the church. And then there's also the sense of togetherness, right? We're these different parts, but we're joined and held together, like it says. And then there's the sense of growth, that we're growing together towards Christ. Growth in Christ all together, that is the mark of vitality in the church.
Yeah, I liked how you pointed that out. I think it's easy to think about the church as the body of Christ or as the household of God.
Right.
But somehow it seems easy to overlook this fact that we're all growing together into Christ-likeness.
Yep. Growing kind of together towards one another and also upward towards Christ. Like, again, we talked about last time also, there's a good parallel with the understanding of the life of a believer. There's this theme of progress, of perpetual sanctification. That predominates in the scriptures over a sense of like arrival, that I have arrived as a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
Wow. That was a big one. It's really emphasizing our points here. Growing in grace, growing in obedience and knowledge, growing into Christ likeness. That's the picture of the life of a disciple. And so would we call a disciple healthy? How do we use that adjective, healthy? Because in some ways you could say, well, yeah, this person is doing a good job of growing in Christ, right? That's a good marker of their health.
Yeah.
In another way, maybe that wouldn't be as helpful to describe somebody as healthy because there's always things that we're growing in, right? Yeah. We're always deepening in our understanding of our own sin, always weaknesses to be dealt with, that kind of thing. I think we would say, yeah, a disciple is healthy when they're growing in Christ, while also recognizing the need to be continually maturing in Him.
And we do want to see some evidence of growth.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're like been a Christian for 5 years and you haven't grown much and you're acting like a baby Christian, we would say, feels like something's wrong here.
Yeah.
So and we would similarly say, with a
unhealthy,
church,
right?
We want to see growth.
Yep, that's right. So the biblical church then, one that holds to the healthy doctrine, both belief and practice, growing together, as it says in Ephesians 4:13, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, so what does that look like more specifically? So much to be said here, and like we said, so many great resources out there about what healthy church should be. Historically, in Protestantism, when they talked about the marks of the church, which is what we're going to talk through, like these are the things that we would delineate to say this is what a biblical church looks like. Historically, Protestantism began pretty simply, like a kind of bare bones description. Mostly three things that were focused on, right? The right preaching of the gospel, the right administration of the ordinances, and many reformers also added the right practice of church discipline. And those were kind of the three that marked out a true church according to the Protestant Reformation. Now, that was important because it was in the context of them coming out of and reacting to what they called a false church, basically, that wasn't doing those things.
Yeah.
And so those are the ways that they marked themselves out, that set themselves apart from the Catholic Church, which was reigning at the time. But alongside these bare minimums, obviously the Bible has a lot to say.
Right.
And we would want to say and affirm as well a lot more about the full biblical picture of what church health looks like. Again, Acts 2, we would start there. Church in Jerusalem came into being through the preaching of the gospel. Peter, filled with the Spirit after the Spirit fell on Pentecost, he preaches. There's the response that we see. It says that they were cut to the heart. So there's a response of heartfelt repentance and faith by those who heard when they come and ask Peter what they're to do. He says, repent, be baptized. And so they follow his instructions. They're baptized, 3,000 that day. And then from verse 42 onward, it describes their life together. It says that they were meeting. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking bread, to the fellowship, and to prayers. They were giving their possessions, selling their possessions to meet one another's needs. It says they were worshiping together. They were meeting together with glad and generous hearts, and that the Lord was adding to their number daily. So these verses begin to flesh out that picture of what a community, an assembly, a gathering of followers of Christ looks like. Doing all these things together. Walking in this Spirit, this life of Christ, and living that out together. And then as we read on in the New Testament, Shani, like you mentioned earlier, there's a couple other elements of church life that come into view more clearly that aren't there maybe as clearly in Acts 2. Specifically, the appointment of biblical leaders. The apostles already being there kind of functioned as those leaders in the church in Jerusalem, but specifically appointing elders and deacons. There's the participation in the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth that we see come into play later on in the book of Acts throughout the New Testament, and the practice of church discipline, like you mentioned. So our organization, missions organization, has very helpfully organized these elements into what they call the 12 characteristics of a healthy church. This is in kind of a guiding missiological document that we adopted a few years back. It's called Foundations. And those 12 characteristics are biblical evangelism, biblical discipleship, biblical membership, biblical leadership, biblical preaching and teaching, biblical ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, biblical worship, biblical fellowship, biblical prayer, biblical accountability and discipline, that's one, biblical giving, and biblical mission.
We're very biblical.
We are biblical, honey. It's important. We're Baptists, and we are super biblical. Again, we are so grateful for this, how clearly this is set out. That's right. These 12 characteristics that mark what we would say, this is kind of the fullness of the picture in the Bible of what it means to be a biblical church. We're not going to walk through each of these biblical elements, even though there's much to be said about them. If you're in our work, you have to.
You would.
Yes, you would, and have to know and affirm these things and spend so much time walking through these.
And we do.
And these form the basis even of our initial discipleship. Once people have come to Christ, mm-hmm. our initial discipleship with them in small groups mirrors a lot of these elements, so that what they're doing at the beginning of their Christian life is really forming the seed of what they're going to be doing together as they join together as church.
Right, for sure. Learning how to share the gospel, learning how to pray, taking baptism, Lord's Supper, mm-hmm. all of that is part of the basic discipleship.
That's right. And so this kind of summarizes what I would say the healthy doctrine of the church, of the people of God, mm-hmm. summarized into these 12 characteristics. And it's a pretty comprehensive picture. And so outside of those exceptional periods like the adolescence of a church start or a time of pastoral transition, a biblical church will live and be known by these marks. But at least one thing here that I am going to point out that should be no surprise because this is a podcast about missions, is that missions is a true mark of the church. It's not incidental, right? Yeah. It's not extra. It's a mark. Mm-hmm. The churches of the New Testament, they participated in the mission of making disciples of all nations, of reaching the ends of the earth. Mm-hmm. They supported and sent missionaries. They prayed for the advance of the gospel. Paul asked them to pray for him, that the doors would be open to him to preach the gospel. Even new church plants were participating, right? Even on the second missionary journey, when Paul goes back to the churches of Galatia and he's visiting them to encourage them, that's when he recruits Timothy to join his team from the churches in Lystra and Derbe. And so they're already sending even as these new church plants. So you're not as a church fulfilling the biblical picture of church health if you're not participating in the mission of making disciples of the nations. So missions, along with these other 11 characteristics, they round out the biblical picture of church that we find in the New Testament. These are the biblical essentials. So a few observations on this view of church and how it's kind of put into practice. Number one, biblically healthy churches are messy. We could just as easily call these the 12 biblical characteristics of messy churches. Because as we frame these things for ourselves as members, leaders, and planters of churches, church life is messy because we pursue these things as people struggling through our own sin and growing in our own maturity in Christ. This is so evident in the New Testament, through the writings, the letters of Paul, even some of the visits that are described. A lot of it, he was addressing issues and messes that came up in those churches. That was the occasion that brought about those letters.
I think part of the mess comes from a few things.
Mm-hmm.
One is just obvious. We're all sinners. Mm-hmm. And so if we're trying to do anything together, we're going to offend each other and have some conflict. I think also, the more you dig into trying to have real biblical community and fellowship, the more opportunities you have for that. I mean, if your idea of church is just go and spend an hour there once a week and leave and not dig in, then it might not feel so messy because you're like a spectator.
Yeah.
But if you're pursuing biblical fellowship, then you're going to have some things to work through.
Right.
And even especially as you're trying, I mean, if you're trying to do church discipline, mm-hmm. if you're trying to confess your sins to each other, which are all really good things, then it's going to feel messy, if we want to call it that.
Yeah.
And then add on top of that, when you're doing church in unchurched places and you have all new believers that are working through huge life changes, we just can't expect them to get it all together immediately.
Yep, that's right.
And I think sometimes it might be tempting for someone who's grown up in the church to be overly critical or concerned when people's lives still look a bit messy 6 months in, or, you know. But, hey, praise God that God is reaching people that are so far from Him.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And let's trust the Holy Spirit to keep changing them and keep teaching and walking alongside.
Yep. So healthy church definitely does not mean clean church, right?
To continue the analogy with a single believer, if we are all honest, we all constantly have some mess in our lives.
That's right.
That God is working on. So thank you, Lord, for being patient with messy people and messy churches.
Yeah. His grace covers so much of that. So number two, somewhat related, biblically healthy churches are a struggle. There are all kinds of...
happen easily or naturally.
That's right. No, all kinds of enemies arrayed against us. The world, the flesh, the devil. poorly functioning churches, churches of ill health that don't address these things, that more, maybe even more than just kind of the mess that does come up as we're pursuing, but those who are not concerned about pursuing health, mm-hmm. man, those enemies delight in that, right? They delight mm-hmm. to see churches that are like that, that don't really take these things seriously, that are content to just go along with what they know, yeah. content to just allow people to not walk in that healthy doctrine, not allow the gospel to shape how they interact with each other and interact with the world around them. Our enemies just delight in that. So there's all kinds of obstacles. But we have the Word and the Spirit leading us through. Those are our two primary resources that we lean on, that we depend upon. Mm-hmm. Teaching, instructing the Word, trusting in the Spirit to bring that Word to life in people around us. This is why for us as practitioners, as church planters, things like the Healthy Church mapping tool that we use, that where we go church by church and sit down and assess what's going on in those churches according to these marks, these characteristics, yeah. what's actually happening in those churches. And it's been amazing to see when you put in your due diligence, when you demonstrate your care for the church by actually walking through and saying, hey, this is what we believe the Bible says about church, and we want to help your church be like this as much as we can. And helping local leaders sit down and think about their own ministry and their own church, that's just been a huge help over the years to be able to do that together. All right, number three, biblically healthy churches pursue full participation. I think this is an important point that sometimes gets lost in the conversation about healthy church. The verses I talked about earlier from Ephesians, they encompass all the people of the church. It's not just the leaders, not just for a few. 4:13 says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. 4:16 refers to the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow. And this is the picture I feel like we get from Acts 2 and others. It's full participation in the church, right? Each member working together, everyone contributing according to their gifts. Yeah. That's the picture that comes through, I think, very clearly in 1 Corinthians 12-14, mm-hmm. dealing with the different, the spiritual gifts and even kind of the order of worship in chapter 14. Yeah. All the parts participating, working together so that Christ's goodness is made manifest to the world.
Yeah, I think that's a really powerful truth. It's a very encouraging truth that comes out very clearly, like you said, in 1 Corinthians 12-14. Every single Christian has received spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. And Paul really like draws that out, that there's different activities, but one Spirit. There's different ministries, different gifts, but all one Spirit, all one body, parts working together in one body. I think it's also a big challenge because it just feels like the reality is that most churches, we have like the really active people and then we have the people who seem to not really get into it.
Right.
It's the goal,
yep.
but it's probably not going to be perfect.
Yeah, I think just striving towards that, right? Yeah. And really having, seeing it.
Maybe having the type of church that is conducive.
That's right.
Towards that. Mm-hmm. If you have a church where it's really easy to just be a spectator.
Right.
Or if people don't even see opportunities to serve, or they're not equipped and trained.
Right. They're not discipled. They're not cared for. There's not fellowship there. Yeah. There's not expectation that they would do something.
The desire that we want God to use you.
Yeah.
So something to think through as church leaders is how do we show our members that we believe that God wants to use every single one of them to teach on that.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of the statistic that 20% of the members do 80% of the work. That's totally true of the church I grew up in.
Unfortunately. You see how those are all connected though, right? Those biblical marks, we're talking about biblical discipleship, biblical fellowship. Those are connected because that's what discipleship should be doing. People should be discipling others within the church, not just the pastors, not just a few leaders, but they should be doing that to each other, all the one another's. Those are things that should be going on in the church.
Well, and if you have the biblical fellowship happening, where you're regularly meeting in homes, that provides a super easy way for fuller participation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the pattern of life we see that we've talked about before, the depth of their fellowship, right? The vitality of it was just different than a lot of the church that we've grown up with. So the last point we'll make here is that biblically healthy churches are worth it. The people of God gathered as his church, that is his appointed plan for glorifying himself all around the world. Biblical churches are the plan for both the good of God's people and for the salvation of the nations, to display his glory through his people gathered. So biblical churches, they ensure the sound doctrine of Christ, both in belief and behavior, the good deposit of the gospel that is the hope of the world, and that this will endure in coming generations. That's what they do. And so in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of attacks from our enemies, the gathering of God's people is our joy and peace throughout our walk as Christ followers. It's what we're intended to be, how we're intended to live. It's not the intention of God that people exist as single believers, kind of doing what they want. We're intended to be in this community. I just think of that life described in the New Testament that we've been referring to, that picture even in the book of Acts, the picture of just like joy in the presence of the Lord, joy with each other, the kind of intensity of that, the desire evident in their lives that they wanted to meet together, right? They were reaching out to each other. The proof of that, that they were selling their belongings to take care of each other.
Yeah.
Just the stamp of authenticity that was on that. That's the picture of church. And I would reiterate in the midst of that as well, maybe people in the States, you know, automatically when you're thinking about this, you're thinking about the church building that you're familiar with. You're thinking about the church service that you know. And I just want to encourage us to continue thinking church can look a lot of different ways and fulfill these things. It can meet in a little slum apartment like the ones that we visit in the evenings here. It can meet outside under a tree and fulfill these things. It can meet in a rented space in a really crowded city and fulfill these things. And man, praise God for the grace that we've been able to see those kinds of things happen and be parts of churches like that.
So one of the sisters here, South Asian sisters that I work really closely with, she and her husband are preparing for a new church plant in their neighborhood, which is so exciting because there's no church in that neighborhood.
Right.
So this is like automatically thousands of people having access to a church.
People
who aren't going to drive far to go to a church.
Yep.
And just what a huge thing that is.
Yeah.
Like what a huge victory that
is
that people there are going to start hearing about it. Many of them will naturally come.
Yep.
They'll hear people singing songs. They'll hear about people feeling loved and getting prayed for.
Yeah.
And that's a big reason why it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. In the midst of this massive government housing project, basically thousands and thousands of people that live there in these small apartments, to plant that light there for that community, that body of Christ to be there and to show forth all it's supposed to in that place, man. It's
so
awesome.
I was just comparing it again, like when our son got baptized a few weeks ago, our initial response wasn't, oh no, what if he's not a healthy believer? It was just like, yes, thank you, Lord. You're working in our son's heart.
Yeah.
That's my response to this new church plant. It's not like, oh no, are we going to get all 12 characteristics immediately? No, it's just like, thank you, Lord. Yeah. You're working and there's going to be a new body of believers right here.
That's right.
That love you and that are going to be teaching your word and praying. It also made me think, just as I think about us coming from the U.S., I think of our background of more traditional church. And I'm very thankful. I've always had very biblical churches in my life. I praise God for that. And then I think of a lot of the norm for church here in South Asia and just realizing how our background does influence our expectations for church a lot.
Yeah.
And our own
proclivities, kind of what we prefer.
Yeah, theological leanings and things. It's almost like if you look at these 12 characteristics, you might have a few that are like your favorite.
Yeah.
That you're just like, oh my goodness, you better get this right. I'm just recognizing in my own heart to just be careful about that. And to do my best to have the Bible be the model.
We want to take the full picture of what that church should be. I feel like this is that summary, those 12 are kind of maybe one of the most comprehensive that I've seen in like a short sort of summary statement to say, hey, this is what the church should be according to the Bible. And the great point about, you know, be the Barnabas. Let's see what the Lord is doing when churches are being planted and ministries moving forward. Let's be the Barnabas that arrived in Antioch and rejoiced when he saw the grace of God, right? He was glad. Even there was, I'm sure there's all kinds of mess there. That's why they stayed on for a year teaching, right? He and Paul, but just to rejoice in it. Praise God for it.
It would be interesting to know more about the elders that were appointed because the American background of like, well, you have to have sound doctrine. That's the big, important piece.
Yeah.
When we hear that, I think we assume, like, well, you need to have had a seminary degree. Right. And probably you would have read some books on ecclesiology and church health.
But sure.
I think remembering how very important and wonderful those things are, this doesn't have to be incredibly complicated or require tons of textbooks.
Right.
You can read the Bible and obey it in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I think it's good to remember the healthy doctrine we're talking about is in the scriptures.
Right. It's not outside of it.
Yeah.
It's not extra.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's in the scriptures. And that it also encompasses both belief and behavior. That it's things that you affirm, but that you also live.
Yeah.
And the test of holding fast to sound doctrine, that was a test of an elder candidate that applies to obviously both their life and their belief.
Yeah.
And that's what we evaluate and that's what we look at to appoint them for leadership.
And I would encourage our listeners with your ministries, many of you are like us, serving overseas, and you are pursuing walking alongside national partners, planting churches, to just be intentional to look at the scriptures together and what healthy church is.
Yeah.
A lot of our work, it begins with a lot of gospel proclamation, a lot of disciple making, a lot of small groups. Sometimes I think we just have to be intentional to helping these brothers and sisters understand this is what healthy church looks like. This is our biblical example.
This is what you are
what we're
being called
towards.
To be. I think that's the value of a place like Acts 2. Rather than teaching through the 12 characteristics sort of as
a list
of teaching on ecclesiology, that's the beauty of Acts 2 is that you just look at it and it emerges from
Draw it.
It emerges from the reading of the text where you can sit down with a national partner. They can see for themselves. It's evident. Like, this is what we are supposed to be. So the Bible has the answers.
Yeah.
It's biblical. No surprise there. 12 biblical characteristics of healthy church.
And they shall be known for their love. That's what Christ said.
Yeah, that is maybe a great point to end on. We referenced 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 earlier. Talked so much about right order in the church, the full participation of the church body. But wedged right between those two chapters is 1 Corinthians 13. The greatest of these things is love. We could do all these great things for the Lord, but if we don't have any love, it's worthless.
Yeah.
And so even for that to be that foundation, that beating heart of all of these characteristics that we're talking about is love for God, love for the people around us, that would mark us more than anything as the healthy church, and that love would cover a multitude of sin and cover a multitude of mess in our lives as well.
Result in thankfulness. More than criticizing.
Yeah, that's right. And drive us towards this full picture of health in the church
and
that God desires
together,
for us.
Yep. Growing together up into the fullness of Christ together.
There it is, folks. Sounds easy, right? Let's get to it.
I hope it's encouraging and helpful just to think through. We're all, of course, also just growing in this together.
Yeah. So. We'll see you next time.